Hello, everybody. This is Galen with the Dad Rocks Podcast here in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Today is February 2nd, 2023, Thursday afternoon. And I'm sitting here in the Bowling Green Daily News parking lot. Just finished my interview with Joel Eimel, the general manager of the Bowling Green Daily News. And it was a great interview. It'll be coming up here in just a minute in the second half of the podcast. So let's get into the weather. Currently it's 36 degrees, going to get up to a high of 41 degrees this afternoon. And it's been cloudy all day long, and it'll probably be cloudy up into the evening. So still got to bundle up. It's cold out here, and I don't know what the future holds. Obviously the groundhog says we're going to have six more weeks of winter today up in Pennsylvania, so I guess we'll have to be prepared for that. If it's true or not, I don't know, but we'll see. They say he knows what he's talking about, but regardless, we're in for some more winter weather through February and March and part of April probably. It really doesn't seem to get warm until around May these days, and here in Bowling Green, South Central Kentucky. But we're going to hang in there throughout this winter weather. And the Dad Rocks Facebook group's doing great. We've got over 2,600 members. We're working towards that 2,700 membership goal. And please keep inviting your family members and friends to join us on Facebook. Keep the group growing. Keep the ball rolling. And, Dad Rocks is all about good times, nostalgia. Remember those memories from our days of growing up in the 70s and 80s and 90s. Maybe even the 60s or 50s too for some of the members. A lot of great music back then, a lot of videos we post of some of the great music and, you know, our favorite rock videos, pics, stories, news items, cartoons like the Far Side. I got a lot of Far Side cartoons I post. Big fan of the Far Side. And then, hey, just about anything. We're keeping up with friends and family members all over the country, all over the world. I've got a lot of friends from down south where I'm from, Memphis, Tennessee, in that area, North Mississippi. Want to give a shout out to Britt Moore, co-administrator of the group. Does a great job of keeping everybody in the loop and posting pics and stories and videos. Britt, appreciate what you're doing for the group. And everybody else in the group who participates, I appreciate your membership and your stories and pics and videos that you post, and a lot of great music. Everybody's got a great taste in music and Dad Rocks. So doesn't have to be rock. It could be country or rap, whatever you prefer. But hey, we don't discriminate. We love everything and everybody. And that's what it's all about, keeping the peace and love, no fighting, no arguing, no BS. All right, when I come back after the break, we're going to get into the great interview I did with Joe Eimel, general manager of the Bowling Green Daily News. And like I said, on this podcast, I'll have an occasional guest I interview, and this is a good one. So stay tuned. We'll be right back with you. Thanks for tuning in today. Okay, everybody, this is Galen with the Dad Rocks Podcast here in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Welcome back, and happy Groundhog Day.
And today we got a very special guest, Mr. Joe Imel, General Manager of the Bowling Green Daily News. Joe, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Galen. It's good to see you. You and I worked together 28 years ago, and so it's good to see you back in the office and getting to see people that you knew here. We were having a little bit of lunch today, so it's good that you came by.
And happy birthday to you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate it.
And yeah, it's been a long time through the years, and I've been keeping up with the daily news, been a subscriber, faithful subscriber all these years. And
well, we appreciate that. It's this is my 32nd year that I've been here, so lots changed. You know, I started out as a photojournalist here, and in the newsroom, you were in there, and you know, I find myself running the place. So it's been an interesting 32 years here and at the Daily News and in the community.
Yeah, we were working there back in the days when Don Stringer was the managing editor and
right.
David Bauer.
Yeah, there was a lot of good journalists, a lot of old school, hard nosed journalists. You know, it's a different time for the paper. You know, obviously the industry's changed and time has changed, but yeah, definitely good times and good people.
Yeah, Robin Miner and Stan Reagan, they're still in the community, I think.
Right, yeah, Stan's a solid waste coordinator for the county. I think Robin is a teacher's aide. She used to be the city editor. Yeah, I still run into a lot of former Daily News employees, you know.
Yeah.
So they're still here, still contributing to the community, making it better. That's a good thing.
Yeah, and we keep up with each other a lot on social media, Facebook. A lot of us do. We're
right.
still in contact.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good that we can still stay connected.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't Facebook's not my social media platform of choice. I think it's a little bit of a dumpster fire. But, you know, I just recently I posted a thank you to everybody that wished me happy birthday. It's nice to connect with old friends and new friends and keep up with my high school buddies. You know, being an Army brat, having lived California and Oklahoma and Kentucky twice and Ohio and Pennsylvania and Germany for 6 years, and then coming back and going to high school at Fort Knox, it's been a great tool. That's what I use it for, is just to keep up with you know, all my old high school and college buddies. So
yeah, well, Joe, tell us about all the positive changes have been happening at the Bowling Green Daily News since the sale of the newspaper.
Sure. So a little bit of background, you know, the newspaper's been here for 168 years. The Gaines family owned it for 140. And they were the oldest family-owned paper in the Southeast. You know, you have Pipes and Scott and Steve, the two sons. And like I said, I'd kind of worked my way up from being a photojournalist and covering the city and the county and the surrounding area, moved my way up through the newsroom and then into the digital side and then into management. And I was their general manager at the paper. And it was just time for them to sell it. The industry has changed over the years, and it was running a family-owned paper without the resources of other papers was really tough. And so I helped them sell it to Boone News Media. They're based out of Tuscaloosa. And Boone is a kind of like the Daily News. It was owned, started by Mr. Jim Boone, a Pulitzer Prize winner, who wrote an editorial about desegregation in Selma a long time ago that won him a Pulitzer. And but he ended up buying papers and created a network of papers. And so, unlike Paxton, that's a little more corporate, it's family-owned, and a little more cookie-cutter, the Boone Group, with 48 newspapers, and then, you know, another 30 or 40 magazines and different publications, is more of an affiliate program. So here at the Daily News in Bowling Green, when we sold, I thought I'd be out of a job. You know, I really didn't think that once the owners left that they would keep me. I thought they might bring their own person in. But their model is to find the right person within the paper they purchase and have them run it. And so I continued on as the general manager and we're still getting to know them and they're still getting to know us, but not much has changed. We still cover the community the same. I have fewer people. We've tightened up a little bit, kind of gotten ourselves in line with what the industry standard is for our size. We are the second largest paper in the chain. The largest paper is the American Press in Lake Charles, Louisiana. So we have a lot of local control, though. My job is to make sure that the newspaper's profitable, and they help out. They have we rely on them for HR and accounting, and we have a lot of never Zoomed more in my life than I have in the last 7 months. We're on Zoom meetings every day,
Wow.
and but it's good. We're refocusing the paper on the community. I've got a Report for America reporter that's going to be headed to Frankfurt. She'll live there and report on state legislature for us and for some of the other Kentucky papers. They own Danville and Winchester and Frankfort, Middlesboro, the Jessamine Journal, the Interior Journal, Harlan Daily Enterprise, and the Daily News. And she's going to do that. I've got an education reporter coming. Got a sports reporter coming. I lost my sports reporter to the Charleston Gazette. So we've done some different things. The biggest thing we've done, as you know, Galen, because you and I have talked about it, is we've gone from carrier delivery to mail delivery, which is really kind of a big movement in the industry. The labor force in this economy is horrid. We had, for every one great carrier, we had three or four that were terrible, and we had terrible customer service because of a labor problem in society today. And so we worked with the post office, the United States Postal Service, and they've been really good, but they're delivering the paper. It's called Exceptional Dispatch. And so we get it. We're printed in Knoxville along with the Tennessean, and we're trucked up. We send everything in by 6 o'clock. And then the truck leaves Knoxville and goes to Nashville, and we go down and pick it up, and we take it straight to the post office. And so, Exceptional Dispatch—they're supposed to get it there same day. Like some people are getting their paper, excuse me, really early. Some people, unfortunately, are getting it really late, and some people aren't getting it. I went from a problem with the labor force to another problem with the labor force. So, the post office is having an issue with carriers. Again, that labor force issue in society. Lack of good quality labor. The cost of good labor has gone up, which has I think helped with the inflation of our daily lives as far as cost goes. So right now we're working on it. We're getting better each day. We still have issues. We went from our weekend edition now is what our Sunday paper was. And really, it's still the same, Galen. Before, and this, when we wrote, everything that was going in Sunday was pretty much ready by Friday afternoon, except for any live events like the Christmas parade or the Veterans Day parade. We're not able to get those in, but all the news that's in Sunday's paper is still on in the weekend edition, So, we're still getting calls, people not getting their paper. We're tracking that, and we're working with the post office and trying to identify carriers that aren't delivering the paper in the exceptional dispatch model, same day. So it's getting better, but it's really helped us out. The change to from carrier to mail has let me invest in more coverage for the community. At the Daily News, nobody does any deeper coverage than a newspaper, and we let you know when your taxes are going up. We let you know who's been elected to the school board. We let you know local stuff. But unfortunately, most people are sitting on their phones and they're sitting on Facebook and TikTok and things like that. They know more about cute puppies and funny memes and stuff like that. And the average person, I liken a newspaper reader to a registered voter that gets out and vote. that's a small percentage of our population, and those people are informed. They want to go out and exercise their right. And, newspaper readers, we still reach 10,000 people a day. But the content, people are, more fixated on that instant gratification of Facebook and social media. And just like the Dad Rocks podcast, you have so many other ways for to get information these days. Everybody can publish in some way, shape, or form. But being the paper of record, if you were looking up obits, if you were online, you'd have to go to every funeral home to find, who you're looking for. You could Google it, you might get lucky and find that person. But the daily news will have just about everybody's death. We'll have keeping fiscal court honest, keeping city commission honest, reporting on protests, reporting on new businesses, reporting on the trans park and what's going on there, the TIF district, new judges, new things in the judicial system. So, we go a lot deeper than anybody else, but unfortunately, I think in this day and age, a lot of people, especially younger people, aren't reading that kind of content. They're not as informed and educated.
I
So.
remember when I worked in the newsroom as an editorial assistant slash writer, every morning I had to make phone calls, a list to Kentucky State Police. I had to go down to the Bowling Green Police Department to get a copy of their reports, thumb through the police reports,
Right.
and I had to go get the building permits and go to the courthouse. So
Yeah.
this is, like you said, information that's on record, public information.
Yeah, and I'm a big believer. While I am, I try when I ran for magistrate and I lost by 36 votes to the incumbent, I was doing that because I still wanted to help the community, but I was it happened during the sale, and I was a little worried that I wouldn't have a job, and I wanted to get, continue my work with the community. And luckily, I lost, and I wrote about that. Thank you to the, I think it was 36 or 37 people that didn't vote for me, because, now I still have the ability to keep the newspaper running for the community. And I'm not knocking the other media outlets, but they only scratch the surface. They get the low hanging fruit. Their websites have a lot of clickbait, Child murdered, mother in custody. You click on it and it's Oklahoma. When you go to our website, it's local news. It's news about what's going on. And but
In the
that's
daily
society.
news, most of the reporters here are writers. They build those relationships with the government entities and police forces, and they know their faces.
Right. Yeah, no, definitely. We have
I
I mean
remember I went up to the courthouse one time, and former Judge Griffin,
Basil Griffin.
yeah, but was still alive, and he said, "Where's No Socks at?" I said, "Who's No Socks?" Wayne Wilcox, that reporter. I said, "Oh, really? I don't. He don't work with us any longer." But he said, "Yeah, he used to come here all the time wearing those loafers with No Socks." So they remember certain things about the reporters and people, and you got
Oh,
that relationship.
yeah, definitely. And you have to have that. I mean, that's really, really, really important. This is again, the paper record. I mean, when it's all said and done, like right now, there's a bunch of people. We have all of our pages archived. You can go back and read. We do put a paper or a page, like I would just put a page from 1921 that'll be in the weekend edition in our History Matters. Information's king. I mean, I think that in this partisan day and age of just such divided politics and nastiness and things like that, I have my views on it, and politically, I really don't want to talk about where I am, but I believe in information and the free flow of it, man, because I think it empowers people, and the more you know, I think the better off you are.
And
So.
you've done a great job of being unbiased through the years in your journalistic career. As far as I can tell, working for the Daily News,
Yeah, I've
what you
tried.
did on the outside with politics, that's, a different animal there.
Sure. And, you know, I kind of tipped my hand when I ran for office. I believe in personal accountability and fiscal responsibility. And I believe in the Constitution. And but, you know, I put that aside and try and give people, you know, what is the honest truth about what's going on. So
the things you were taught in journalism school.
Sure. Definitely. I believe in that. I've always worked for newspapers. My first job was delivering the News Enterprise in E-Town when I was in high school at Fort Knox. And then I landed after Western. I landed at the McLean County News, worked there. And then I worked at the Hardin County Independent. Gerald Lush was the former editor at the News Enterprise, and he started the paper. And then I landed at the Daily News, and, you know, love Bowling Green, even though I'm from Columbus, Ohio, and, you know, a military brat, you know, Bowling Green's home. So yeah. It's
same as me, 35 years now.
Yeah, it's a great, great community. Yeah. You know, so.
So what's the most challenging thing that you've had experience as becoming general manager and the sale, and with the sale of the paper, Joe?
You know, I think it's marshaling the resources that I have to do what's needed to, you know, to give the community the coverage they deserve. My boss kind of put it in a really interesting way. He said, "We will give the community the level of journalism they can afford and support." Meaning, you know, most people take the paper for granted, think that it's supposed to be there. We're supposed to, it's just something that's there, kind of like a governmental entity. But it's not, it's a business. And you know, any business owner will tell you, if you spend more than you bring in, you're not going to be in business long. And so I've had the biggest challenge is balancing revenue versus expense. To give the community what they, you know, deserve and what will keep our politicians in check. There's checks and balances, and I think a newspaper helps keep governmental agencies in line, without fear or favor, you know. I think that's the biggest challenge. I'm coming up through the newsroom. I'm learning about advertising revenue and circulation, and I know more about newspapers than I ever have, and it's exciting for me. It's a lot of hours, but it's well worth it. I want my, you know, in the next 10 years, I want people to remember Joe Immel as the, you know, general manager and soon to be named publisher, you know, of the paper.
Okay. And I was going to ask this question, and you kind of touched on it. How do you think that the community of Bowling Green in South Central Kentucky has perceived or accepted the changes of the Bowling Green Daily News?
Oh, I think there's two different things that really have kind of impacted it as far as perception. One is obviously the conversion to mail. You know, that's been a kind of a rough, unexpected thing. I knew I was going to do it from day one. It just took me a little while to get there. You know, we've had some people say, "Well, I'll wait to advertise or subscribe when I see how this mail thing plays out." Before, if you lived in an outlying county and you were the only house on the road, I couldn't deliver to you because it cost me 10 times more than your subscription monthly to get it there. Now with mail, excuse me, I can get anybody. I can mail a paper to anybody within the four, if your zip code is 421 or 422, I can get you the same day, provided the mail carriers are doing what they're supposed to. And then anybody else, it'll be next day. But I have the ability to extend my reach. We've seen a real uptick in digital subscriptions, which are great. We have online a PDF of the paper every day that reads just like the paper on a smartphone or a tablet. The other thing, Galen, and you know, you were an editorial assistant here, I think is, the owners had a pretty hard stance editorially on a lot of things and took a lot of people to task. And I've softened that right now while I get my feet under me. We're just not ready to take on a lot of controversial issues right now until I get my house in order here. And then we'll look at calling people out in a thoughtful, respectful way.
Right.
You know, I'm not looking to beat anybody up, but I'm looking to pose the questions. Why are we doing this? Should we be doing that? Mm-hmm. And at the same time, when I ask those questions, I have to offer suggestions or options. You know, it's one thing to question somebody, but I think it's another thing. You need to have some sort of answer to back it up.
Yeah, even as an editorial assistant, I landed myself in some hot water at times with obits.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if I made a mistake on obituary, that's where I had some of my biggest troubles than as a employee in the newsroom.
Yeah, obits were a. Now we charge for them and we run whatever they put in. You know, whatever they. Yeah. We don't edit them. We let them write the obit, and we view it as advertising because it takes up so much space.
The onus is on them now.
And so we have great partners in our funeral homes.
Yeah.
You know, Johnson Vaughn and J.C. Kirby and Cohn and all the surround Burnham and Sons and all the surrounding funeral homes are doing a really good job. Obits are a different
animal. I almost lost my
days.
Job a couple times over that.
Oh, are you kidding me? Yeah, you can't mess up an obit, people. Yeah. But, you know, that's a... people are only in the paper, used to be, three times. When they're born, in a birth announcement, if they were ever arrested, and then when they die.
Yeah.
And so, you know, these days, you know, we don't report on DUIs and low-level stuff like that, I don't think.
Yeah.
But, you know, anytime anybody's indicted, anytime that there's a crime and there's a trial, we try and cover it. And we're the only people that cover trials, except for you know, the local TV stations. Excuse me. We'll dip in when you know, there's a big high profile trial. But Justin Story does a great job for us as a court reporter. He just is all over it, very accurate. Judges and lawyers love him.
Well, you all had done some great entertainment stories through the years too. I know Wes did a great story on my son's band or Sleeper Agent.
Sleeper Agent, or yeah. Love Sleeper Agent.
Yeah, or Tony individually, I think that story is more or less about him and what he's doing in Nashville.
Right.
Which was a front page story.
Right, yeah. We try and provide the community with information and interesting information. A lot of great people in the community doing a lot of great things. And, you know, I wish we had 20 reporters, you know, but... to write even more, but it's kind of tough, but we do a good job covering the community.
What about the amplifier? Is it still part of the Daily News?
It is not. It recently, Kim Mason, who was started the amplifier and then sold it to the Daily News and then subsequently worked here for 15 or 17 years. You know, she left and, the amplifier just kind of has been stagnant. And so, I'm sorry, hold on. I got to listen to the police scanner for my Twitter feed. We have, that's a suicide threat. So, you know, the amplifier was stagnant, so I'm offering it to the radio station, WDNS. Alan Cooper might take it. And it fits more in their wheelhouse due to the music section of it. You know, the amplifier was really kind of a community calendar and bands and music and plays and arts and entertainment, but I really don't have the ability to keep that going. You know, have our hands full covering the community from a journalistic standpoint. You know, the news side, the entertainment side, we can dip into every once in a while. So
yeah,
I'm hopeful that Alan Cooper will take the amplifier and bring it back to life. Cause I thought the amplifier was kind of a neat thing. You know, it used to be printed and then it went digital. But finding contributors, I think they've got to build it back up, but it's more in the radio station's wheelhouse.
Would it be more of a vocal or a print on the internet?
It's good. Yeah, it would be. I mean, I don't think he's gonna do any printed product. Excuse me.
Be on their website or
yeah,
something?
It's just going to be on their part of their website.
Oh, I see. I got you.
Yeah, so it'll be an online publication.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, Joe. Let's see. How do you like writing your weekly column?
Oh, I hate it. I loathe writing. I have to come up with something here by tomorrow at 1. One of the editors that I have in my news department emailed me one day and said, "Hey, you know, we're not a weekly, we're a daily paper. I need, you know, make your deadline."
Yeah.
And Boone has this model where they like what they call player coaches. Everybody that works either creates revenue or creates content, even managers and even the general manager, or soon to be named, I'm hoping I'll be named publisher soon. But I write the weekly column as a way to connect with the community and share my stories over the years, the last 38 years of being a journalist, a photojournalist mainly. But I still get out and shoot. I'm a cover Westerns game on Saturday. I love to shoot pictures, and that's my passion journalistically. I love to cover sports and news. But the writing side comes not very easy for me. It's a struggle. And I obsess over it, but then once I get an idea, it just flows.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Galen, I'm a storyteller by trade. I used to tell stories. I've listened to a police scanner for 38 years as a way to get to places, to know, to get those great pictures of wrecks and fires and shootings and marches and protests and police investigations. And the scanner's been that tool. And before social media, I used to tell, you know, on the sideline of my son's soccer games when he was little, when he was 4, I'd have all the parents there, and I was like, "Oh yeah, there was a naked woman in Fountain Square, you know, there was a guy covered in chains and mud bathing in the fountain, or you know, there was a guy running driving down the road with his dome light on, masturbating on the highway." Just not things that are worth stories. But it's information, and it's kind of like the fabric that weaves this community together. You know, Bowling Green's growing, and city county planning has projected that by 2040, in 17 short years, there'll be 240,000 people in Warren County, Bowling Green and Warren County. And so, you know, I mean, before the tornado, we were on the verge of a housing crisis, and after the tornado, Ben Peterson referred to it as a housing crunch.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, it was a crunch, now a crisis. Bowling Green is busting at the seams, and crime has increased, even though the police will say it really hadn't. I feel like low level, you know, you see homeless now on every street corner.
Oh, yeah.
Multiple people. I think that we're feeling the effects of Nashville's growth. Our proximity to I-65 as an artery, for travel and commerce in the U.S. I mean, a lot of things impacting it, and a lot of things happening here that are really good. A lot of businesses coming, 6,000 open jobs. You got that massive battery plant coming.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got that massive battery plant up in Sonora or Glendale.
Yeah.
You know, which I still think will have some impact south of
and
it.
And then the one in Franklin they just announced.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. So we're right in the middle of all of the big
activity. Yeah, I think we're just right in the crosshairs.
Yeah, I agree with you about the crime and the homelessness. I know it's really picked up through the years. Back when I moved to Bowling Green back in 1988, you never saw that.
Right.
You know, or even in the 90s. But in the last 4, 5, 10 years or less, it's gotten, you know, more prominent.
It has. It has. And I don't know. There's no easy solution for it. You know, there's not. It's a tough, tough thing. And it is a little bit of a blight on the city and county. But there's got to be a way to deal with it. And I think it's incumbent upon our politicians and our city fathers and to figure that out. You know, they've got to figure something out.
Another thing I've noticed about living in Bowling Green the last year or two is that we're getting people from all over the country moving in. New York, California.
Sure.
I work at a big retail store, my retirement job, and we I've met associates out there or from California, like I said, New York, and moved in because the cost of living is too high or they don't like their politics.
Right.
After COVID happened.
Yeah, taxes, you know, looking to get to rural America. But, I mean, I think that's the divide right now, you know, getting back politically, is urban versus rural. Yeah. And, you know, when Barack Obama said they clutch their Bibles and their guns, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I think the rural and, you know, Bowling Green is still, even though it's the third largest city, the difference between Lexington and Louisville, you know, at almost a million people and probably more than a million people in Louisville or in Jefferson County. And then in Lexington and I guess Fayette County, probably 750,000 or more. And then you drop down to, you know, 140,000, 150,000 in the city and county, a huge disparity. So we're kind of a tweener. We're not like, you know, as small as Russellville or Franklin, but we're not a Louisville or Lexington. We're just kind of right in between there.
And we're getting a lot of apartment complexes being built all over the place. And
right. Yeah.
You got to, if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Got to have, you know, you got to have places for these people to live that are going to work. You know, I think you could look at the national statistics. Homes are tougher. Fewer of the younger generation are buying homes. They're not doing what, you know, maybe our fathers and grandfathers did and then what we've done. You know, they're just got a different mindset.
Mm-hmm. Well, Joe, tell us about your the recent awards that the Daily News won up in Lexington.
Sure. So we were at the Kentucky Press Association's winter convention, and that's where we had the Oklahoma Press Association judge entries in advertising and editorial content. And we did really well in the advertising side. We won first place general excellence in the daily category. The Courier and Herald Leader did not enter that. Now, they did enter the editorial side, and, you know, they have much larger newsrooms. We took third place behind the Courier, and then the Herald Leader won first. But, you know, we had Grace Ramey, our photographer, won a couple first places. We had some layout wins and newspaper article wins and editorial wins, and I got lucky enough to get a third place. I don't shoot as much. The advertising department just crushed it. They're a great group. I've got five ladies in the advertising department, and their goal is to help clients improve their business, and they do a good job. So, you know, the Kentucky Press Association convention next year is here in Bowling Green. It's usually in Lexington and Louisville. They're going to move it around, so that'll be exciting. It's good to be around other newspaper people. You know, to talk about the commiserate about the industry and talk about ideas and, you know, people that speak your language. So it's always a fun time.
Okay, Joe. And one last question. What's your favorite type of music, songs, and bands?
Oh, you know, I have varied tastes. I was in high school. I read Circus magazine, and man, it was Def Leppard and Crocus and Kiss and Lynyrd Skynyrd. I love Southern Fried Rock. I love heavy metal. I'm a huge Black Sabbath and Ronnie James Dio. The hair metal, big hair metal, you know. Love Def Leppard, but I'm also a huge Eagles fan. I don't listen to country. My wife listens to country. I just, you know, the Tyler Childress and some of those, there's some stuff that she's made me listen to that I've enjoyed. Mm-hmm. You know, the Rolling Stones, I'm a huge fan of the 70s music. That was a great time in my life. We lived in Europe, lived in Germany for 6 years, and, a lot of good music came out there. I really don't listen. When I'm in the car, I'm always listening to music, and you know, you know, it's either metal or the 70s. And then I like some of the, you know, Gordon Lightfoot. Huge Gordon Lightfoot fan.
He's a wonderful storyteller.
Yes, he is. The Edmund Fitzgerald is one of my favorite songs. But I'm really kind of an old soul. don't really embrace a whole lot of new music. Loved Sleeper Agent. I love Cage the Elephant. You know, I love the local bands that are around. If I hear something or somebody passes it on, I'll listen to it because I love that creativity. I used to paint and sculpt. And before I got into journalism, I thought I was going to be an art teacher and a football coach. And that didn't work out. And luckily, I found my calling. But I appreciate creativity. And music, I can't carry a note to save my soul, but I like good music. And music is a huge part of my life because it's the thing that kind of washes away the day for me. When I get in the car after a long day at the paper trying to solve problems, music's the first thing I turn on. And but yeah, it's definitely 70s, 80s. You know, I completely miss the whole grunge scene. I don't listen to any of that, but really kind of an older yeah. listener.
What about movies? You like movies?
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, huge Star Wars fan. I love military history, you know, as my background, being around it for a lot of my life. And so I don't get to the theater very often, but I will pick up and watch you know, I like spy thrillers. I'm a huge fan of Cloak and Dagger stuff, things like that.
James Bond.
Oh, love James Bond. Yeah. Love James Bond and the Mission Impossible movies and stuff like that. Bond. I'll go see a Bond movie in the theater as soon as it comes out.
Just Stallone movies, action.
You know, I don't know. I mean, I watch a little bit of Stallone, but not a ton. I'm not a huge Stallone fan, but the whole James Bond thing, Ian Fleming, I thought, did a great job. William F. Buckley wrote some novels about Blackford. His spy was, I think, Blackford Oaks, and I used to read those. I've made a point to start reading again. I need to read more paper, you know, actual real books. I'm a huge gun enthusiast, and so that takes up a lot of my time. You know, I like to shoot competitively in some categories, and you know, I'm a strong believer in the Second Amendment. But so that takes up a lot of my time. But definitely, when I'm out working on the gun bench, man, I've got music playing. I love to listen to the Eagles when I'm sitting in the garage, and Gordon Lightfoot, like I said, and the Beatles and the Rolling Stones. You know, anything that was kind of from my past when, you know, my formative years, when things were really kind of just great life, you know?
And that's what Dad Rocks is about, the private Facebook group, as well as this podcast, among other things, is tapping into the period of your life, the songs that bring back those memories.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the good times that we remember.
No, I completely agree,
Galen. It just triggers it.
It does, yeah. No, I mean, I think some people these days, you know, they get that, I don't know what they call it. I forget what the word is, that the thing in the brain when you're on Facebook, you get, you know, people liking your posts. And
oh, pheromones.
Yeah. But for me, music does that, you know, not Facebook or Twitter or anything. It's music does, and especially just some of the great music that's been created over the years. You know, love went to
endorphins. That's what it is.
Yeah, endorphins. Yeah, yeah.
Not pheromones.
Not pheromones. Yeah, yeah. So, well, maybe some of that sexy music produces that. Maybe a little Barry White will do that for you.
Yeah.
But now, music's a huge part of my life and my wife's life too. She, huge country fan, listens to a lot of the, you know, new kind of outlaw country guys, or, you know, not necessarily that are bucking the mainstream with the whole Nashville scene and the whole country music industry. I should listen more. There's a lot of things I should do more, but I'm working so much.
So are you still making beer? I remember you were into beer making.
Yeah. So it's been a little while. John Williams and I, he owns an architectural firm in town, and he and I have a one barrel system, and we brewed a great amber. We brewed some great stouts and some IPAs, and his house is under renovation. So once he gets that put back up, we're going to get our brew system going and try and keg some more beer. You know, it's that creative side. You know, I love to be creative with the camera, love to be creative with my writing, and beer is another creative outlet. I appreciate beer. Used to be a hophead, would chase down all these IPAs, but I've kind of, they've run their course. I like a good West Coast IPA and some good music playing, and you know, that's a good day.
Yeah, you sound a lot like me. Like a lot of men, we like to get in our man cave element and with the music and doing, like me, it's drawing,
right?
You know, and with the music going.
Yeah, no, it's just it's a sweet spot, you know. It's a place to kind of wash away the day, you know.
Drinking a brew while I'm drawing.
Right.
And then something else I've gotten into the last 3 or 4 years is, like I said, watching movies. I got a large collection of DVDs and Blu-rays, but now I've got a dilemma. My son bought me a 37-inch flat screen smart TV with the Fire Stick
Amazon. Right.
So I got all this whole mountain of stuff to watch on streaming.
Yeah.
Which I'm discovering. I'm just, you know, scratching the tip of the iceberg.
Right. Yeah.
And I got all these movies sent to the side.
Well,
and I'm feeling overwhelmed.
Right. There's so much content out there, you know. You got to pick and choose. So
it's nothing better than sitting down with the cold brew and putting on your favorite documentary. I'm like you. I like documentary stuff.
Oh,
like
yeah, definitely. Too. I like to know how things work. I'm inquisitive, you know. I like to know. For me, information, you know, knowledge is power. And not that I'm power hungry. I just want to know, you know.
Yeah.
I'm very, very interested in how things work.
Well, Joe, is anything else you want to say or talk about?
No, not really, Galen. I really appreciate the opportunity to be on the Dad Rocks podcast. I mean, I've known you for a lot of years, and we've, you know, we've kind of kept up with each other. And I think this, like I said, everybody has the ability to publish these days. And I think the podcasts are great. I listen to a few, and I think it's a great way to meet people, to hear about them, and again, knowledge.
Yeah.
You know, so
podcasts are great for when you're driving a long distance, you know, got to travel. I always enjoy putting a podcast on Joe Rogan and some
right?
of these guys.
Uh-huh.
He's one of the best.
Sure.
Yeah. He's got some of the most interesting guests in the world, you know.
Right. No, I think
I'm like,
it's,
how did he land this guest? You know?
Right. I love the exposure that you get, you know, people that you never might come across. So, but no, I'm appreciative to be able to have this opportunity to be on Dad Rocks. Thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome, Joe, and appreciate you giving me the time. I know you're a busy man these days and got a lot going on, a lot on your plate. So I hope that your readers of the Bowling Green Daily News have an opportunity to listen to it. You know, I'll definitely let the social media world know about it.
So yeah, definitely.
We'll publish the links on
right
the different sites.
Mm-hmm.
So do appreciate your time, and again, this is Galen with the Dad Rocks podcast here in Bowling Green, Kentucky, and I want to wish everybody well. Hope you're doing well today wherever you're at in the world, and remember, keep working hard, keep your chin up, stay positive, and stay safe. We'll talk to you later. Have a great day.